हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
K. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 18, Characteristic of One in Ecstatic Love. From text 1349. From Jiva Goswami. One should not say, quote, this type does not fit within the general category of Ratyabhas, because it lacks desire for enjoyment and liberation. It is, end quote. It is classified as Ratyabhasa, because material curiosity is a form of enjoyment as well, the contamination, right? So material, that curiosity, that speculativeness, that this, just interestingly wanting to know, it's also a form of enjoyment and a contamination. As well, it does not overlap with pratibimba ratibhas, though both types have desire for enjoyment. Because chaya is connected with only a curiosity about the Lord, whereas pratibimba has a strong commitment to material enjoyment or liberation. Right, so one, there's a curiosity, but it's still material. Right?
Can we say that chaya is better?
Yes, chaya is better. Like that. You're moving forward. It's a less material involvement, but the point is that there's not that serious commitment to the Lord yet. Right? There might be just an inquisitiveness, or there might be a curiosity, there might even be that aspect of, some gratefulness and this kind of like that, but it's still, it's not that full commitment yet. So, 1350-51, yes.
Is chaya always a next stage after the pratibimba?
Is it the next stage of the pratibimba? You don't necessarily have to be situated in the pratibimba, right? But we generally will see is that someone will come with material desire, but having heard associated devotees and hearing, then they'll take up the chaya. Right? It's still ratyabhas, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But we're specifically talking about here the characters of the one in ecstatic love. So the principle is applied through devotional service. Right? But we're talking about those who manifest these symptoms and everything like that. So, yes?
One devotee commenting on those stages said that it's crucial when we preach what seeds we plant in people's heart. So one will go into pratibimba, and while one will go into chaya. So chaya will then develop into something in rati, in the real thing. But then pratibimba, you have to take it out and plant the real seed. So it's actually crucial.
Okay.
how we preach to public.
But then was it being described what causes the pratibimba and what causes the chaya?
Yeah, the main difference is pratibimba is completely disconnected. It's like a reflection with the main body.
No, that's there, but how is your preaching going to generate one or the other? That was.
Oh, if we preach Shuddha Bhakti right from the beginning,
yeah.
Harinam, and like that, then it will go directly. So it doesn't have to be one after another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then pratibimba, if we preach astrology and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, then you can end up with the other stuff.
Yeah,
because then you have that strong material attachment. That's the weakness if you're using, the astrology, the Ayurveda, vegan, these kind of yoga as a basis. Sometimes you can get distracted by these things.
Yeah, people just stuck for years.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes we preach directly, for example, Harinam and other things, but some Indian people, like Mubarak, I told yesterday, they already came with Pratibimba. Means that it's not always dependent on our preaching.
No, it's not dependent on our preaching. It's dependent on the soul, because you can preach whatever you're doing and someone can take up your devotional service.
Mm.
It's just a matter of what the soul's looking for. So it's just that if you're doing, if you preach about pure devotional service, then you're going to attract those interested in pure devotional service. Same time as it will also be interesting to the others. But if you just preach something that's interesting, then, you know, from that you could get the pure devotees, but it may not be as, they might have to go somewhere else. But, you know, sometimes you have devotees that they're in one place, the devotees are there, they've never met them or anything, and then they go to some other place and they, you know, they go on holiday and then they meet the devotees. Or, you know, so Krishna just arranges that they're going to, you know, who they meet. Yeah. But we should be trying to give pure devotional service. It's just a matter of the medium that they can appreciate it through. So you talk pure devotional service, but you'll deal with that element that they can relate to. Okay. So. The Chaya Ratyabhas appears sometimes even in ignorant people. By a combination of performing actions dear to the Lord, observing the festivals of the Lord, residing in the Dhamma of the Lord, and associating with the devotees of the Lord. Right? So the direct activities. Even this Chaya Ratyabhas, which eventually bestows auspiciousness to those people, appears only with great good fortune. Right? So Srila Prabhupada. Such shadow attachment or para attachment can develop if one associates with a pure devotee or visits holy places like Vrindavan or Mathura. And if an ordinary man develops such attachment for Krishna and fortunately performs devotional activities in the association of pure devotees, he can also rise to the platform of pure devotional service. The conclusion is that transcendental attachment is so powerful that if such attachment is seen manifested even in some common man, by the association of a pure devotee, it can bring one to the perfectional stage. But such attachment for Krishna cannot be invoked in a person without his being sufficiently blessed by the association of pure devotees. So it's all based on association.
Mm-hmm.
So if then they're associating and then we're not giving them pure devotional service, then, you know, it won't be as advantageous. Srila Jiva Goswami. There should be simultaneous participation in the items listed, performing actions dear to the Lord, observing the festivals of the Lord, residing in the Dhamma of the Lord, and associating with the devotees of the Lord, in order for Chaya Ratyabhas to manifest in ignorant people. So they're associating with devotees, and they're performing these activities of direct devotional service. Somebody says, that's what you see is that you could say the earlier days, so many people would come forward and move forward so quickly because they're associated with devotees that at that time were not so interested in other things. You know, how much they're cultured or not, that's another thing, but it was about pure devotional service, even though technically they may or may not have understood it, but that's what their basically motive was. And they always engaged people in direct activities of devotional service, nothing else. You know, anything else was just Maya. You know, even if it was authorized, it was still Maya. You know, yeah. So you see, is that people would come to this Chaya Ratyabhas very quickly and move forward. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because of association with devotees, festivals, and other items, this rati is sometimes even seen in ignorant persons. Persons who have no good qualities, such as tolerance, and have no desire to extinguish samsara. 1352-53. By the great mercy of a dear devotee of the Lord, the semblance of bhava suddenly becomes real bhava. By offending that devotee, even the best bhava bhasa gradually wanes, just as the full moon in the sky gradually wanes. Moreover, it should be stated, by an offense against the dearest devotee of the Lord, even real bhava will be destroyed. If the offense is grave. If the offense is medium, the bhava will turn into bhava bhas. If the offense is slight, the bhava will become an inferior type.
Mm-hmm.
Right? set, is what he says. So it's by the association of devotees that this bhava moves forward. Right? So it's the mercy, it becomes real bhava. So the bhava bhas becomes real. So by that association. So it's saying in the counter, if we offend the pure devotees, then it goes the opposite direction. So if it's, you know, if it's, how you say? So even if they're on the platform of bhava, a major offense against the pure devotee, then can cause bhava to be destroyed. You just drop from that position to a lower position. Yes.
Technical question. If the person is on the level of bhava, so we understand from this that if he commits the offense while being on that level, for example, Bharat Maharaj, it says somewhere that acharyas say that he became attached to the deer and fell down because of some offense from previous lives that was lingering with him.
Mm.
So my question, technical, how can you get to the level of bhava still dragging with you those offenses or that particular offense and then suddenly fall from that trap?
Why not? I mean, what's the doubt? Why
the
can't
doubt,
you do
how
that?
Can you reach the level of bhava if you still have those offenses stored?
Yes, but bhava is still not prema.
Not prema.
You know what I'm saying? So it's you've come to that level of where that focus is on the Lord nicely. But the point is if the external situations are such, then one tends to fall back into one's previous habits. You know? So if the deer hadn't come along, the story might have turned out differently. But the deer did come along. Right? Yeah. So it's just pointing out from here that these things are possible. So one has to appreciate, because otherwise that same argument, then we'll take it, if there's any bad qualities at all, they can't actually be advancing or be advanced or be a devotee, just depending upon how we want to use it. We like the person or not, we're going to give more leeway or not, like this. So the whole point is bhakti is not dependent upon these external situations. If one has devotion, it moves forward. Just like, why does Duryodhana have Balaram's, you know, how you say, blessings? Because he showed devotion to Balaram. He was a good student of Balaram. But his problem is he's not friendly with this, you know, those connected with Krishna. Right? But Balaram he has all respect for and everything. Like when they heard that Balaram was coming, you know, about that problem, who was it that they, one of the boys, I think Samba. Yeah, like that. And so they were happy he's coming because they know he's so favorable to them. You know, if Krishna coming, then they're not sure because he favors the Pandavas, like that. But then still they went and insulted him and that, and so yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that he has that devotion. He gets the results in that area. But because in the others he doesn't, then he's getting the reactions. So it's like Manu mentions, that you make an offense on the level, physical level, the reaction is physical. It's on the mental, it's mental. It's on the intellectual or essential, it's on that level. Mm-hmm. So the difficult, I mean, so we have a tendency is, oh, if there's an offense anywhere, it affects everything else. But let's say physically there's a problem, but let's say mentally or you know, certainly the person's controlled. Does that make sense? So his reaction will come in the one, but we'll take it as it's broad. If there's any fault anywhere, then it's all thrown out. So we have a tendency to not look at where something's proper, it gets proper results. And where something's not proper, that's where the problem comes out. You know, so like if you, yeah. So, yeah. So it's just that being able to accept this broader aspect, because otherwise, as I don't know, was it discussed here? We're discussing about that you may have situations where, by bhakti, all the good qualities come. But you may have somebody who's advancing in bhakti and still you may not see good qualities. Right? So it's just a matter of time. the bad qualities are very strong and this and that. The bhakti is, if bhakti can remove all that, bring you to prema, why can't it get rid of these qualities? So if these qualities are lasting for a long time, it means they're very deep. Right? You know, like here, Bharat Mars is something from previous. So then, we're not worried about that. We see is that he does devotional service, he does that. So that's what we take from here. So we see the story, we're inspired that despite all these things, he still is able to move forward and come to prema. Is that? Yeah. Because otherwise, then we'll have our own method to define. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, they say, you know, come back to the Japanese politicians. You know, every 6 months, there's some scandal about a Japanese politician and how he's removed and everything falls apart and everything like that. But generally the area where the scandal is has nothing to do with his ability on being a good, you know, politician or a good, you know, social, you know, public servant. Like, he goes to parties and he's crazy there. You know, like he, whatever it is, takes off his clothes and dances around with a lamp on his head or something like that. So they'll remove him from his position, but okay, that's crazy, it's unfortunate. But the point is what's that got to do? Is he doing that in the parliament? If he is, yeah, definitely get rid of him. But if he's not, then what has it got to do with this? So we have this thing, if there's something here, then everything goes. You know, it's like, is he squeaky, is 100% pure, or it's just completely contaminated? There's no gradation. So the same in here is that gradation has to be accepted. And so, but it goes both ways. So it means even you're on the platform of bhava, the real bhava will be destroyed. It'll come back to bhava bhash, like that. If the offense, it means it'll just be destroyed. So it says below bhava bhash. So it'll go down. If it's medium, bhava will turn to bhava bhash. If the slight, bhava will become an inferior type. So let's say he's situated nicely in a higher level of smarana dasa. It'll drop down or drop down to varna dasa. It'll just drop down lower. You know, or if he's on a higher platform up, and then it'll drop down below that. Does that make sense? So that's why the offenses against devotees one's trying very hard to avoid, like that. Because as it is we may decide that someone's not a devotee, but the point is by this definitions that are here, we can say they may be, and this just may be their area of distraction. So in this area it may be weak, but the other areas it's not. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Okay. An attachment can be evoked by the association of pure devotees. So attachment can also be extinguished by offenses committed at the lotus feet of pure devotees. To be more clear, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offense at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's shadow attachment or para attachment can be extinguished. This extinguishing is like the waning of the full moon, which gradually decreases and at last becomes dark. One should therefore be very careful while associating with pure devotees to guard against committing an offense at their lotus feet. Transcendental attachment, either shadow or para, can be nullified by different degrees of offense at the lotus feet of pure devotees. If the offense is very serious, then one's attachment becomes almost nil. And if the offense is not very serious, one's attachment can become second class or third class. So it just drops, yes.
Does it mean, Maharaj, because here the sthayi is developing, does it mean that from, say, like Madhurja, then we drop down to Sakya or Dasa?
No. It just means that it's just your position in your attachment to Krishna drops, so the material attachment will come up. You know, like we saw with that leading devotee in Vrindavan, when he committed that offense to that other devotee who was there, then he went back, you know, he just lost his interest, his taste, went back to his village, you know, and took up family life again. So that's just, it just means you just drop out of that position. Right? But then you see with time, if they then properly practice and by the association, mercy of the devotees, then they come up nicely. But it just depends upon how bad it is. So it means, yeah, what's the misunderstanding? It's like you have that. Yeah. So, Srila Jiva Goswami. By two types of grave offenses, offense to the dearest devotee or to Krishna himself, Krishna Prishta, Aparadhaha, even real bhava is destroyed. By medium offense, bhava becomes bhava bas. By slight offense, the bhava degrades in category, becoming an inferior type that means that there will be degradation in terms of the five rasas and the eight stages from Mahabhav to Rati. Thus, change in bhava will take place according to the seriousness of the offenses. Oh, well, here it also mentions degradation in terms of the five rasas. But it may mean that it's not that it go down through the rasas, it just means your situation in that rasa just goes down. And then, even here it says Mahabhav to Rati. In here, it can go down even in those. Sadhya Rupa or Harda Rupa. Bhakti has five types. Bhava, Prema, Pranaya, Sneha, and Rag. In Ujjvala Nilamani, three more types are mentioned. Man, Anurag, and Mahabhav. Thus, there are eight types of Sadhya Bhakti. This is explained in Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 121. However, since the topic is bhava bhakti, the lowest of the eight types, that bhava could simply decrease in intensity. Furthermore, those at the level of bhava still have impurities and could make mistakes because of anarthas, whereas those at the level of prema are pure and could never commit real offense. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Bhava will be destroyed by aparad to the dearest devotee of Krishna. An example is Dvidvida, the monkey, a follower of Ram. By aparad to Lakshmana, his bhava disappeared. By medium aparad, bhava becomes bhava bas. Right? So then he became a demon and harassing and all that. So, makes sense. But otherwise, he was one of the associates, one of the main monkeys in the whole Lord Ramachandra and his monkey army. Like you have, you know, Sugriva and these things. Dvidvida was one of the major monkeys. Okay. If the aparad is slight, the bhava changes type. Oh, here. Madhurya Rati becomes Dasya, Dasya becomes Shanta. So he doesn't go down these others, just drops back down to just servitorship. You know, you just have that attitude of service. You don't have the taste of the Madhurya. You understand? So in other words, any of those three, the top three, if there's an offense there, it'll drop down to Dasya. If it's in Dasya, it'll drop down to Shanta. So Shanta is just that appreciation. Like that. So it's like what you said, but it's not that you drop down to those others. Because Dasya is a general. Kind of thing, and also Shanta. That's why sometimes you see they talk about the rasas, Braja Bhakti, as the upper three rasas. And then sometimes you see, just like previously was talking about four, because Shanta doesn't have the sense of possession. And sometimes it talks about five, because they're all there.
When you say Baba Basa, means it's like a Chaya and Fatibina?
Yes. Yes.
You said also looking at the relationship between devotees, like the devotees like living, he's doing servitorship towards devotees, but then when he's living, he becomes like Shanta, he just appreciates.
Yeah, I mean, it can apply. See, is that you don't want to take these things too far, because a particular example is given in a particular area, and therefore those terminologies are used. In this kind of faith, you just say his faith in Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness practices has decreased. It is the same principle, but when you apply it in a different area, you give it a different name. Does that make sense? So, it's just like, let me say. In cooking, you have different techniques. It's the same thing. You're applying heat to the ingredient. But because of the difference in how you're applying it, it gets a different name. Right? So, let us say we're boiling a potato. So, we call it boiling. So, we're applying the concept of cooking, but through boiling. Right? So, we're boiling in water, right? So, now, then if you look at it, well, you say someone's being boiled in oil, so therefore, I could put the potatoes in oil and bring it up to that boiling temperature, and then it would just be called boiling. No, and that is, you call it frying. Does that make sense? So, the terminology is, it's the same principle, but you have to see as the detail may or may not work. So, you just have to be careful that when you're extending it, you get an understanding, but you have to then use the terminologies that fit that extension. If they're the same, fine, but if not, then you have to be careful. Yeah?
Once we served an Indian cook dumplings.
Okay.
And he refused. He said, I'll never take boiled samosa.
Yeah.
In his mind, it should be fried.
Yeah. Yeah. So that means then just take it back in the kitchen and throw it in the pan and fry it. That's also bona fide.
Just the concept, it was like offensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like once we gave the first time we had given spaghetti to the Bengali boys. They're all village boys, so they had never seen that, anything. They put it on the plate, and they're looking at it and said, we're not eating worms. They wouldn't eat it. They just wouldn't eat it. Yeah, they changed themselves. This was in early 80s. They wouldn't eat it. Just like that. And then once we made a salad, gave it to them, they put it on the plate, and says, we're not cows. This is cow food. We're not eating this. So it's just, yeah. It's the same principle, yeah. So, what? Okay, thus change in bhava will take place according to the seriousness of the offense. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Bhava will be destroyed by aparad to the dearest devotees of Krishna. An example is Dvidvita the monkey, a follower of Ram. By aparad to Lakshmana, his bhava disappeared. By meeting an aparad, a bhava becomes bhava bas. If the aparad is slight, the bhava changes type. Madhuryarati becomes Dasyarati, Dasyarati becomes Shantarati. 2355. By intimate association with a person who strongly desires impersonal liberation, real bhava becomes bhava bas, or becomes worship of the self as the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. If someone becomes attached to the principles of salvation, or to merging into the existence of the Brahma Jyotir, his ecstasies gradually diminish into shadow and para attachment, or else transform into the principles of ahangropasana. This ahangropasana describes a living entity when he begins spiritual realization by identifying himself with the Supreme Lord. The state of self-realization is technically known as monism. The monist thinks himself one with the Supreme. Thus, he does not differentiate between himself and the Supreme Lord. It is his view that by worshipping himself, he is worshipping the Supreme Whole. So it's just, the point is by offense, by bad association, then you can change your position. So you always have to be very careful about these things. Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhajani Yesha Bhavatvam means identifying oneself as the Lord, who is the actual object of worship. Bhava for the Lord becomes ahangropasanam, worship of the self. So instead of worshiping the Lord, they start to worship themselves because they see that non-difference. Like that. But the point is, the worship shifts to their self. And so it's a form of monism. Right? It may have that seemingly personal aspect, but it's not about worshiping the Lord.
Right. Can we say that this is the deviation of too much oneness, too much stress on the oneness,
Yes, yes, you could get. Yeah, you have to be always be careful like that. So that's why we don't use the nyasas and all those things on ourselves, because we use them on the deities. So when it says we don't use nyas, it means for ourselves, because of that weakness. Because right, then you think, you know, you become one with the mantra and this and that, so you may make the mistake of not keeping it in context of the Lord. But you see, is that in the Vaikuntha worship, because the awe and reverence is so great, then it's just a matter of you're being empowered by the mantra so that you can do this, you do the worship. So there's such a distinction between the Lord and yourself that they don't have a problem with it. It's the support for that. But for us, because of that, the aspect of the oneness and the difference, you have to be careful so we don't use it. One, it brings out the awe and reverence, but at the same time, it becomes a distraction. Because you think it's the ritual that makes it so now you can do your bhakti's better, my worship's better because I do all the nyasas and stuff.
So these offenses actually displease the Lord, because of which the association of devotees, because we commit offenses against any devotee, it displeases the Lord so much. So it's because based on the personal thing that.
Yes, because it's about Krishna. Is the devotees are the most important. That's why we're manifest and all that is for this opportunity to interact with the Lord based on devotion, and that means then we're going to be doing that in the company of other devotees. So since Krishna's focused on the devotees, if we're not also focused on the devotees, then how we have common? Where's the community with Krishna? Does that make sense? So that point, that's why you have to be careful. Does that make sense? And you offend the Lord, it's all about the Lord, so then, you know, then it's just then you have to wait. It means eventually, yes, you know, everyone's going to go back to Godhead, but why waste your time? You know, since it's over, generally offenses are over false ego and attachments and stuff like that. You know, inconsideration, you know, so many things.
Yes.
So you have to be very careful. Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. By intimate association with a person desiring liberation, who is fixed in that philosophy and who uses logic from jnana scriptures which establish the superiority of liberation over everything else, supra tishtite, real bhava becomes bhava bhas. Alternatively, he identifies himself with the Lord who is worthy of worship, thus becomes self-worship. 1356. It is seen sometimes that new devotees, absorbed in the goals of different types of liberation, identify themselves with the Lord momentarily during dancing or other acts of devotion. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. Kṣaṇam, for a moment, is only a representative term. It implies as well that the attempt to identify oneself as a Lord may last for a long time. Mukti Pakshagha means that those who are absorbed in the goals of Swarupya, Sharshti, and Samipya. Right, so that kind of liberation, because they dealt with the monism, so that means the other aspects.
Right. So it means they are not in person, momentarily identified with the Lord, in what sense?
They're not aware of, that means, because they're not mature in devotion, then they're not making the distinction properly. So it's just they feel the transcendental happiness that is there and then identify with the Lord, and then they don't really see, you know, it's about the experience rather than the relationship.
Yeah.
Like that. And so then, you know, these things may also. The problem is that may stick. Rather than it's the devotion and that service, it was that experience of being one with the Lord. Right, so. So you just want to avoid any of these positions. Yeah? 1357. Bhava sometimes appears suddenly in a person without performance of sadhana, or mercy, and without scriptural knowledge. It should be inferred that, in a previous life, some obstacle interrupted that person's skillful sadhana, and in this life the obstacle has finally been removed. So they were on that platform, some obstacle came up, then they weren't acting on that platform. Then in this life, whatever the obstacle is, it's removed, and they just come back to what their natural position was. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes it is found that a neophyte is taking part in chanting and dancing very enthusiastically, but within himself he is under the impression that he has become one with the Supreme Whole. Right? So this is from the previous. This conception of monism is completely different from pure transcendental devotional service. If, however, it is seen that a person has developed a high standard of devotion without having undergone even the regulative principles, it is to be understood that his status of devotional service was achieved in a former life. For some reason or another, it had been temporarily stopped, but most probably by an offense committed at the lotus feet of the devotee. Now, with a good second chance, it has begun to develop. The conclusion is that steady progress in devotional service can be attained only in the association of pure devotees. Right? So that's the conclusion. Is we can only be gained in the association of devotees, and so therefore you want to be very careful to not offend devotees. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Sadhana refers to all the causes of bhava. Sadhana bhakti, the mercy of Krishna, and the mercy of the devotee. Iksha refers to knowledge gained through scriptures. Sometimes bhava appears suddenly without knowledge of scriptures and without sadhana, mercy of Krishna or mercy of the devotee. It is seen and verified to be real bhava, ikshate. One should then infer sadhana from a previous life, as in the case of Vritrasura and others. Right, because Vritrasura is this big demon. But you see by what he's talking and his discussions with Indra, he's a pure devotee. Indra's a devotee, but Vritrasura is a pure devotee. But due to an offense previously to a devotee, therefore now he's come in this form as this demon and all that. As soon as that obstacle is removed, then you see he comes back to his natural platform of pure devotion. Mm. Right? Mm. So, yes.
The story of Bharatam Maharaj and the story of Vritrasura, can we say that it shows us that offense can, the reaction of offense will be on the level of material body, like in the next life, they work.
Not necessarily. The point is if it's worked out in this life or that. The effect is in the consciousness. And so
the consciousness also changes.
But that wasn't an offense, that was an attachment. Right? Here they're talking about offenses. But there is an attachment. Right? But you also see is that you would look at that aspect that you're bringing up now in Jarabharat. Did Jarabharat do any sadhana? Did he study any scriptures? No, but he's acting on this because the obstacle is removed. He's given up that attachment. So then because he became attached to a deer, then becoming unattached to being a deer, as a deer, then we see as that obstacle has been removed. So then as Jarabharat, that there's no obstacle. So he comes back to his position in bhava. Is that... Yeah. So, yeah. So the point is that offense means the consciousness may drop. So the point is we see is if Vritrasura was acting as the demon then came back up to that platform. Right? Or if it was just that was the obstacle was there and then he comes as a demon, so then he can't, you know, he's not in the regular association and all that, but he maintains the consciousness. But does that make sense? It's a drop in the consciousness that the acharyas are talking about. And then that may affect, therefore, then the external. Right? Because depending on the consciousness at the time of death, that's where you go. So if the consciousness is low, then you'll take a lower birth. Right? And then if the obstacle is removed, then by association, then you'll go back to what it was. So.
What is the difference between devotee and pure devotee?
It means just depends upon the context as it's mentioning. So generally, if it says devotee, it means pure devotee. like that, unless they're making a distinction. But like here, it says someone that's found in the neophyte is taking part.
Yes. And it was said in conclusion that the progress can be attained only in the session of pure devotee.
Yes.
Means when say pure devotee means devotee in a general way.
Pure devotee means those who are in their goal is pure devotional service. So anybody who has that kind of attitude, then we can move forward very nicely. Yes. Like that. That makes sense. So the more they're situated in there, then the more powerful is that association.
Yes. Yes.
But that's why it's very, you want to be avoid getting distracted. Because let's say someone is advanced, but if they get distracted by some, you know, some aspect of karma jnana, you know, gross or subtle, then that being prominent in the consciousness, now you won't get that kind of association. So you'll be careful of the association there. But where you see they're dealing appropriately, you know, in pursuance of pure devotion, in those areas you can associate. You know, or if you just find it's hard, then you just avoid that association. So,
but the goal is important.
Yeah, it's always the attitude.
Yes, yes.
Because it's a matter of prema is mature faith. So if the faith is in Krishna consciousness, you know, it's just like you probably was talking about the devotees at the time saying that, you know, that they're pure devotees. Yes. But you can see by symptoms of descriptions in that, and one way you're talking about have the, you know, certain things are like third class devotees.
Yes.
But we'll see later that it talks about third class pure devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Means they don't know Shastra very well, but they have that faith, so they're committed to pure devotional service, though they don't know Shastra. So from that aspect of knowledge of Shastra, they're third class.
Yes.
Right now. But it's not that their devotion is third class.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why it's separated from these things. So it's the bhakti aspect that you want to look at. So that's what's being seen here.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. One 358. That Baba which is more amazing than anything in the world, which gives all powers and is very deep, is caused by the mercy of Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. Previously, in verse 136, three causes of bhava were mentioned. Sadhana, mercy of the Lord, and mercy of the devotee. Now, bhava arising due to sadhana in previous life has just been mentioned. Which of these is the best? Hinting at examples such as putana, the author says that bhava caused by the mercy of Krishna is the best. One 359. Jane ched jata bhave pi vaigunyam iva drishyate karya tatapi nasuya kritartha sarva taiva sa.
Why sometimes we have Sanskrit and we don't import Sanskrit?
Means you would rather just have no Sanskrit at all.
I'm nothing against it.
You just wonder why sometimes we have it and sometimes not. So it's either we have it all the time or none at all.
No, but just what's the important? I mean, it's this.
Generally, these are verses that Prabhupada quotes are used regularly. So there's around 20 or something. Yeah. It's just the ones that have that Prabhupada uses in that, you know, or the acharyas always are quoting or something. So that's why you'll see. Yes.
Is it possible we skip the section of Srila Jiva Goswami?
Is it possible that we skipped or that we skip? Skipped. Means this just before 1359, the one to 1358. No, we read. Yeah. Because it was saying these points have been discussed before, and so then we just kept going. Yeah. But it's saying of the three, then then sadhana, mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotee. The author is hinting at that bhava caused by the mercy of Krishna is the best. Okay, 1359. If some apparent fault is seen in a person who has developed real bhava, one should not be hostile to him, because he's accomplished the goal in all respects, right? Because that's the thing, is we would say, oh, how can he be? Because we may be taking it that, oh, without, you know, good action, without knowledge, without skills, without good qualities, how can there be bhakti? Because we have this faith that the secondary is actually the real thing. And therefore, then bhakti then is growing from that, rather than it's a support. So like let's say, for example, if somebody gives us a plant, it generally comes in a pot, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we can also then it comes in a plastic bag, right? But it comes in something, right? Yeah. You said you wanted it. Yeah. But if you have a pot, it doesn't mean you have the plant. So the plant's the main thing, and the pot is the support. So the difficulty is that interaction with Krishna, based on affection, that's the real thing. Then the expression of that through the various situations and activities and results, that's the supportive. So not seeing Krishna means we only see the supportive. We don't see Krishna. And so that's material consciousness. So then we're used to material consciousness that it's all about the secondary. Right? So the jnana and kriya shakti, that aspect, we take that as main, and then from that, then you get bhakti. But no, bhakti is independent because it's due to Krishna's desire, icha, that the kriya and the jnana are serving. They're simply fulfilling Krishna's desire. Yes?
Can I also say that it also for us break our stereotypes?
Yes. These are there, like you saw, is that you know, you're getting, seeing that your position and then using everything for Krishna and this, and then starting to introduce the pure aspect and then coming up, and then ninth canto just takes whatever it is, typical things we have, and then turns it on its head because it's about bhakti. Because otherwise, if it's not, then we might find fault in the devotees in the tenth canto. And then the 11th canto then gets into the explanation. So, yes, it's there. Because generally you would see they're advancing, the good qualities are there. But you can see where the good qualities aren't there necessarily, or in some areas, but they're still developing. You know, it has developed real bhava, means you can. We'll say, no, they can't, because they have to have the good qualities, because we're the ones that are convinced that the secondary is the real thing. That's why we're in the material world. Mm-hmm. So sadhana bhakti means now engaging that secondary in Krishna service. So you're trying to reverse the process.
Mm-hmm. Can we also say that by the secondary, we usually can judge, not in a bad thing, sense,
yeah.
Just see.
It's generally, you can say symptoms, but it's pointing out that that's not the real symptoms. The symptoms is the devotion, because you'd have to look at other things. Because we're saying the apparent fault. Because it may be some other thing they're doing, what do you call it? Even just an apparent fault is that set here. Like that case of Undal. She's making a garland for the Lord, and then she tries it on herself and looks in the mirror, sees how it looks, sees it from different angles. And if it's good, then she offers it to the deities. You know, but then, I think it's her father, then pointing out it's a fault. You know, you can't put it on, you have to offer the deities first. You know? So that's the whole point, is that in devotion she's doing this.
All of the examples are like that. There's a rule and then all those exceptions.
Yes. Well, you have to show exceptions. It means there's the rule, because it's always the rule is the main principle. But the point is there's always exceptions to that, but there's still exceptions to that rule.
Mm.
They're not exceptions to another rule. So it's just you, yeah. So that's important to be able to. So the more maturity means you understand the exceptions and how that works. Yeah. So he's accomplished the goal. He's come to that transcendental platform. That's the goal we're trying to get to. Then the qualities will come along with it. It means they'll follow. It's just then, you know, it's just a matter of how long. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Srila Prabhupada. If one can gradually advance his status in devotional service, this is understood to be due to the causeless mercy of Krishna himself. If a person is completely detached from material enjoyment, has developed pure ecstatic devotion, even if he is sometimes accidentally found not living up to the standard of devotional service, one should not be envious of him. It is confirmed also in Bhagavad Gita 9:30 that a devotee who has unflinching faith in and devotion to the Lord, even if sometimes found to be accidentally deviated from pure devotional characteristics, should still be counted amongst the pure. Unflinching faith in devotional service in Lord Krishna and the spiritual master makes one highly elevated in the activities of devotional service. Right, so that's the whole point. You have the unflinching faith in devotional process itself, in Krishna and in the spiritual master, then there makes one highly elevated. That's the point. That's what you see, the acharyas are always making these points. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always about the Lord, not something else. Mm-hmm. And the Lord as a person, not something else. Mm-hmm. And that the devotees, because that they're representing the Lord and they're mm-hmm. dear to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then pure devotional service, that it's about devotional service and not about other religious processes. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you have faith in these three, then it makes one highly elevated in the activities of devotional service. So even if there's some lacking in some way like that, then it's not taken seriously. Krishna says in the Gita. It means that we have to be careful to make sure that we're not trying to point out that, well, actually, you know, it says here, it's completely detached from material enjoyment, develop pure static devotion, but we'll go attack that first. Mm-hmm. And then, because they're not on that platform, now we have a right to say all the things we want. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is that a process of, is it one of the processes of devotional service? Mm-hmm. You know, kutinatanam or sadunindanam, right? No, it's not one of the processes, right? So, therefore, how is that important? It means, okay, you can point out a fault, great. What can you do about it? What is the solution? And if you can't do that, then why are you coming? You know, for yourself, okay, you see it like that, I should avoid doing like that. But then that's great. But then to comment about person and their status is what's your position? Unless you can do something about it, why you would comment? That's the basic principle. So therefore one should avoid that. Otherwise it's easy to find fault. Fault finding is like, how you say, you're in the material world, it's basically a default setting. So you shouldn't take too much pride in, you know, I can find fault. You know, it's kind of anyway, everybody finds fault. You know, I remember we were in, what was that place? Haridaspur. You know, just on the border, in Bangaon. Yeah. So we have a little place there. So they had a big people tree. You know, big, big people tree. And, you know, as people trees do, they drop the leaves. And in the morning, then, as goats do, they come through and eat the leaves. But I noticed, because, you know, I was sitting there 3 weeks, and, you know, the place is about this big, and there's the banyan tree, and so every day, all you do is, if you're sitting there, then the highlight of the day, will, you know, as far as activity happening, is the goats going through. Because nothing else is going on. I mean, other than your devotional activities, but anything else, nothing else is going on. So, the leaves would be there, and the goat would come in the morning, and it would only pick the freshest leaves, and it would, you know, pick it up by the end and eat up to the stem. Bite the stem off and drop the stem. It wouldn't eat the stem. You know how the leaf has that little stem? Mm-hmm. When they would come at noontime, then the fresh leaves aren't there, so they would eat the little drier leaves, not the perfect leaves, but not eat the stem. But when they came through in the evening, they would eat anything they could find, stem and all. like that. You know, so, yeah. So even the goat can discriminate and find fault. So we shouldn't be, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Because it doesn't mean that we know. Like, let's say you take a nice apple, high quality apple, good apple, like that, you know, and show it to a dog. It'll come up, sniff it, and walk away. It's not good enough, you know. So, but that doesn't mean that the dog is now qualified to be our fruit, you know, how you say, experts and, you know, our fruit critique, you know. Does that make sense? No? Okay. Yeah. Sorry? Vivid, okay. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. There may be some external bad conduct, vaigunyam, but one should not be hostile towards him. Because by having bhava, the person cannot be contaminated by those external actions. Right? So it won't affect their consciousness. Right? Because it's not an offense against someone, it's not an offense against the Lord, the devotees and that. It just may be not a standard way of performing a service or not, you know, something is lacking or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not an offense. Mm-hmm. So it won't affect their devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Footnote 13. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.276 points out that the Bhava Bhakta still has anarthas and could commit sin or aparad. This distinguishes him from the Prema Bhakta. However, if he makes mistakes because of his level of advancement, Krishna takes care of him. So it's just that's the whole point. So we see in these others, the ones that they made something and completely we just fall away because they didn't see that there's something wrong here. They thought that they were right, and they went with their, you know, I'm right, you know, all the way down. So, but otherwise, you know, Krishna takes care, especially these others. Anartas committing sin like that. The aparad, you see, is the strongest one. Yes?
Sometimes we preach in low-class places where people don't have a basic culture, and they actually able...
So you're meaning once you leave the borders of India...
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And they can follow principles of bhakti, the main principles,
right.
But yeah. All the details, cleanliness, you know, deity worship, and it's like,
yeah, you don't worry about it.
So, but how pushy should we be in those areas? Because it's annoying, like it really disturbs everybody, and people get out of shape. But then, you know, where's the standard?
Means you have the standard, you follow the standard, and you set up the standard. And so then, that means if you only have private standards, you know, you follow the standard and what you do, and others will see, and maybe it'll slowly catch on. You know, just like Prabhupada, he was doing deity worship, he was making offerings, he was doing all that, you know, upstairs. But the devotees downstairs, you know, in the storefront, they didn't follow any of that. Right? They just took part in the kirtan and you know, took prasad. But they didn't know anything else. But by association, eventually, slowly, they started to see and catch it and that. And once they kind of caught the thing, then, you know, very quickly it moved forward. So, but if you've established something, like you have a temple and all that, that has to have the standards. And if someone can't be cleaning up this and that, then they shouldn't be doing these things. They can take part, and yes, maybe they're not clean enough to take part in the deity worship, but they can come, sit there, chant, or lead kirtan, or do whatever they can do appropriately. You know? And if they refuse to, you know, they've been walking through the bog and all that, and muddy feet, and they refuse to wash their feet because they'll, you know, come into the temple, then they can sit outside. We'll leave the window open for them. You know? Like that. Or, you know, they have to wrap plastic bags around their feet or something. You know, so you just see, is that it's just a matter of the position of the yatra. Like you see, Prabhupada was, you know, very tolerant of so many things in the beginning. But once it kind of established that the devotees had become more fixed and all that, then there was one devotee who kept coming and going and all that. He, I think he had a problem with drugs and all that. And so when he came back, he came to the door, you know, about coming, Prabhupada said, if you can, you know, not use your drugs, you can, you're welcome to come in. So he stood there for a moment or two and then thought and then left. But before that, it seems that they weren't so worried that they were there chanting and all that. But this was like, I think, after like 6 months or something. You know? Because before it was, who knows what they were doing when they went out. But it's kind of like at that time, Prabhupada was confident that they weren't, you know, smoking dope and stuff like that. And so now you don't want someone like that who might bring that back in. You know, so it was even, I'm not sure of what time it started, because it wasn't in the early... It wasn't in the so much in the 60s, but in the early 70s, Prabhupada mentioned about when somebody joins the temple, they have to shave their head. They're not shaved. They can come visit, take part in the programs, do it, but they can't move into the temple until they shave. Because he was saying that basically most everyone had been hippies before, and if there's some, and they're really attached to their hair. And so then if somebody comes in and he's able to be in the temple and do the services with long hairs, why can't I have long? So probably you know, they all have, you have to shave. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.